What I had talked to Steve about going forward, or learning about the Lord intellectually really centers around what I want to talk to you about today. Salvation is one thing. Going on and becoming, to use some King James words, sanctified or set apart or holy, it's not one step, it's many steps in our Christian life. And what I want to do is just make you think about some of the steps of growing on to becoming mature as a Christian. Yes, to even becoming holy. Don't let that word scare you. Holiness really means to be set apart, to use again a King James word, sanctified, but it means to be set apart. I'm going to ask you a number of questions rhetorically, and I don't want you to raise your hands or say yes. What I want you to do is just think about them. Take them home and think about them. First of all, how many of you, and again, don't raise your hands, I just want you to think about, how many of you really would like to be or are saved? Don't raise your hands. But how many of you, I mean, you all want to go to heaven. We all want to go to heaven. But how many of you would really like to be holy? Now, I want you to think about that. Do I want to become holy? If I become holy, gosh, will I still be able to get along in the world? Will I be so weird and far out that all my unsaved friends and maybe even some of my saved ones won't like me? What does holiness mean? And what started me off on this was, I don't know whether any of you read Our Daily Bread. It's a little thing called Our Daily Bread. There's some in here that I find trivial at times, but there's some really good things in here too. And this is for March 8th of this year, and it's called Pursuing Holiness. And I would like you to, I'm going to read it straight from here, and then I'm going to take you to some scriptures and then ask you some questions about becoming holy. We often see surveys that ask people if they are happy, satisfied with their work, or enjoying life. But I've never seen an opinion poll that asked, are you holy? How would you answer that question? One Bible dictionary defines holiness as separation to God and conduct fitting that separation. So it's not just the action, not just the technical thing, but it's the action that goes with it. Author Frederick Buechner said that when writing about a person's character, nothing is harder to make real than true holiness. He adds that holiness, and I want you to pay attention to this, holiness is not a human quality like virtue, for instance. Holiness is not something that people do, but something that God does in them. Let me say that again. Holiness is not something that we do, but God does in them. Now, that doesn't mean that we can just sit back and say, okay, I'll wait till God makes me holy. No, not that at all. Romans 6 presents a stunning gift that God gives us through faith in Christ. We were buried with him through baptism into death, but just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. What Christ did for us by dying on the cross is sovereign. We can accept it, but that's all we can do. But we have a responsibility. We have a terrible thing, and I've talked to Steve about this before. We have a terrible thing that God gave us. That's free will. It's a terrible thing. How much damage has been done in the world by free will? People have been hurt. They've been abused. Wars have been started, etc. Free will is a terrible thing. But it's also a very positive and a very beautiful thing. And we have a responsibility. In my Bible, wherever I find human responsibility, I put a little capital R with a circle around it. That's my way of tuning in. With free will, we got, whether we like it or not, responsibility. Now, bring that around to holiness. The pursuit of holiness occurs daily as we yield ourselves in obedience to the Lord instead of following our ways of self-gratification. We're pretty good at doing that, most of us. We don't have any trouble satisfying the big me. I just recently read a book on character, and it talks about how we're in the age of the big me. How do I satisfy me? If we yield ourselves in the Lord to the Lord instead of following our old ways of self-gratification, now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. What I want to say here is there are two different ways of looking at whatever happens in our lives, whether it's holiness or salvation or what. One is the positional thing, and the other is the experiential thing. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you are born again. You're a baby. You need milk. You mess your diapers, and so on. As you grow in the Lord, hopefully, you go on to more mature food. You grow up. You don't stay a baby. It's really not too much of an honor to have people point out someone who has been a Christian for 50 years and say they're a baby. And we're not that useful in the kingdom if we remain babies. But if we grow up, if we become holy, we can then take our part actively in the kingdom of God and in our relationship to one another. Let me give you a little example in case that maybe is too far out. When someone gets married and they go to the office and they get a marriage permit and certificate and they get married, when they say their I do's and go through the ceremony, they are positionally married. Does that mean they're experientially married? I've heard, I don't know how many couples say, it took us 30 years, 40 years to really appreciate one another, to become experientially married. You are potentially holy at the time that you accept Christ as your Savior. But that takes a whole life of being shaped on the potter's wheel, so to speak, so that He works with you. He breaks you down. He pulls the big rug out from under you from time to time. He gives you maybe a plane crash or something and I've been through that, two of them in fact, to bring you around to some kind of maturity. But holiness is a thing that we will never be completely holy in this dimension here on earth. I don't say that to discourage you. I say that to encourage you. Because if you thought that you were going to become holy on this earth, where would you go from there? And on the other hand, if you said, I will never become holy, that could become a little bit demoralizing. So, with the free will we have, I've looked up a whole batch of scripture. And I like to look up things in the Hebrew and in the Greek. As Steve said, for better or for worse, I tend to be a bit of a scholar, and I like to look things up and see, what were they saying back then? The Hebrew word for holy is the word kadosh, Q-A-D-O-S-H, and it means to be sacred. That's almost something that scares us, but it means to be clean, to purify, or to be clean. If I ask you, and again, I don't want you to raise your hands, but if I ask you how many of you would like to be sacred, probably you say, that's not for me. But if I ask you if you'd like to be clean, I think you'd probably all raise your hands. We would like to be clean people, not only in God's sight, but in each other's sight. The Greek word is hos eos, and it means to be divine, which again, I'm not sure any of us, if you ask me if I want to be divine, no, I'd just soon be a regular person. But if you ask me if I would like to be pure or holy, yes, I really would. Even if it means I'm misunderstood by some people, I would like to walk on in God's plan. And yes, I would like to become a holy person here on this earth. As I looked this up, I found a number of words, and how I was surprised afterwards. I didn't set out to do this, but I was surprised at how many of them started with P. We present ourselves, and let me read you, because it's a good one, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And most of you are familiar with that. And this is out of the New English Bible. The New English has been my favorite. I have the rare duct tape bound version here. And the reason I like the New English is because it speaks in modern day language. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, I implore you by God's mercy to offer your very selves to Him. That's the presenting part. We present ourselves, we offer ourselves. A living sacrifice. And how many of you know what happens to a sacrifice? Anybody want to tell me what happens to a sacrifice? It gets slaughtered. Or I like the word that it says in the translation, again from the Greek. It means to be consumed. Ooh, that's a little bit scary. Do I want to be consumed? A living sacrifice, dedicated and fit no longer to the pattern of this present world, but let your minds be remade and your whole nature thus transformed. Then you will be able to discern the will of God and to know what is good and acceptable and perfect. Making any of you here, making me holy, is God's work. But it has to start with us, since we have that terrible thing called free will, presenting ourselves. We lay ourselves on the altar, so to speak. And in the Psalms, and I'm not sure of where this is found, it's high up in the Psalms, it talks about bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. If you don't bind the sacrifice, guess what's going to happen? The sacrifice is going to get up and run off if it can. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. And then once it's bound, as you said, Carol, as you gave the indication, yeah, we are get our throat cut. So from Romans 12, 1, we present ourselves. The second P that I looked up in this is the fact that, and this is where free will comes in also, we pursue. We present ourselves, then like this little thing here says today, we pursue holiness. It's got to take some action on your part. God will do it, but without you presenting yourself and being active in this, it's probably not going to take place. So we must pursue holiness. And the third P here is to be a partaker of. I like that word. If you partake of something, like if you go to a good meal and you eat, you're partaking of the food. It nourishes you. And most of the time it tastes good too. That's free will to partake. You know, you can also go to a picnic or a church gathering or what have you, and you can refuse to partake. Sometimes we do that because we don't feel good. Sometimes we're just stubborn when it comes to partaking of what God has for us. The scripture talks about the beauty of holiness. And let me say to you, this beauty is not an outward beauty, but an inward beauty. How many have seen, and this can be for either sex, ladies, you've seen a really handsome man or a Hollywood-type image, or guys, you've seen this gorgeous gal, and on the outside she's really beautiful, and on the inside there's just not much to go with it. Holiness, true holiness, is an inward, not an outward thing, and that takes God to do it. You can put on all the makeup in the world, and it's a superficial beauty. The real beauty. And Steve, do you remember Vicki Morrison at Art Center? who was gorgeous on the outside, but she was also gorgeous on the inside. And we talked about this, and we said, this is really lasting beauty, this type of beauty that comes, emanates from the inside out. With the responsibility, let me give this to you. There's a scripture that's a little bit scary. Luke 12:48, to whom much is given, much is required. That's always been a scary scripture to me. It means I just can't sit on the salvation that I have, on what God gave to me. I need to become some kind of a useful tool to God among my fellow brothers and sisters here on earth. Philippians 2:12 says that, and this is where responsibility comes in again, that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Now, it's God who does the work in us, but again, we can present ourselves for Him to work this out. And I even like this, Romans 10:10, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, but it's with the heart that man believes. And that goes for holiness as well as accepting Christ as our Savior. Hebrews 12:10 says this, we are to be partakers of His holiness. And I'm going to close by reading a segment of scripture out of Hebrews chapter 12. But it says that we are to be partakers of His holiness. That is, again, we are to eat of, to feast on what He gives us. That's where free will comes in again. And kids, as well as adults, I want you to think about this. You may have accepted Jesus as your Savior, but it's up to you whether you go on and grow, whether you eat of the things that God has for you. And of those of you who are big and older, but still kids, the same thing applies to you. You need to eat. You need to partake. You need to take it in. Is it always fun? No, it isn't. It's a different dimension, in fact, and I just want to touch upon this. I was talking with Myrna Trathan on this just a while back. Myrna and I have become good friends. I don't think there's anything more than that, but we are really good friends, and we enjoy each other's company. And we were talking about how Eastern religions, for the most part, seem to have an easier time accepting things like holiness and inner growth and what spirituality is. I even thought earlier about talking to you about what it means to have the Holy Spirit come into your life. I was saved when I was 18 years old at a Billy Graham rally in Portland, Oregon in 1955 in a tent that was out there by the Lloyd Center. That's where I accepted Christ as my Savior. But I went for another 18 years before I knew what it meant to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Whole different step. My life has been different since then. I was even going to talk to you about that, and I thought, no, I don't know these people well enough. And that's pretty intimate when you talk about that. Others think I'll talk about holiness instead. But the Eastern religions, for the most part, are more tuned in to the spiritual realm than we are here in the West. Our trouble basically started with the Renaissance and the Age of Reason. And now we figure things out by the intellect, and we go away to seminary, and we get degrees in this and that and so on, and think that we are mature people. We may be intellectually. Oftentimes, there are people like that who are spiritually still just babes. And the Eastern religions have an easier time of it than we do, I think, when it comes to that. Anybody got any questions at this standpoint? I just don't want to stand here and harangue you. I've got some more to say, but I also just felt led to say, do you have something you want to ask? Yes, go ahead.
I'd like to say that if you would like to know more about the baptism and the Holy Spirit, I know all about that, and I can help you get through that if you're interested in talking about it.
He's kind of a stranger here and doesn't want to offend you. Well, I'm going to offend you. Listen, dear brothers, I make a lot of jokes, and I have such deep peace, freedom inside. I can laugh and have a good time and know that God is still on my side. But if you want to know about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I would love to talk to you.
Now, there's a wonderful invite. Steve can also talk to you about that, and I'm sure there's some others here who can talk to you too. Again, let me say this when it comes to that. We sometimes in the West struggle with words to make the reality of the Holy Spirit known to people. First of all, you have to want to search. I went again through the first 18 years and wondered why my life as a Christian was up and down and here and there. And sometimes I was high with God, and sometimes I wondered if He was still there or where I was in the whole picture. Do I still have struggles? Of course I do, and I will to the day that I transfer to the next dimension. But meanwhile, here on this earth, since my, and I don't mind that, call it a baptism of the Holy Spirit, I have never been under circumstances in the ways in which I was before. Sure, I have up days, I have down days, but the Holy Spirit brings a brand new dimension into your life. This is about not about baptism and the Holy Spirit, but I'm glad I mentioned it, and I'm glad you spoke up. So pursue that too, and partake of the Holy Spirit. I came to a point where I laid myself out. I'll say another word on that. Where I laid myself out and said, Lord, I'm reading the Bible now. The church that I went to at that time, and I won't tell you what denomination so I don't offend anybody, was scared to death of the Holy Spirit. They were frightened of Him. Like my teacher friend Bob Mumford says, we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and we hope He doesn't come here today. That's where a lot of people are when it comes to the Holy Spirit. I mean, Jesus is our solid rock. He's our foundation. We don't have too much trouble with God. But you know what the symbols of the Holy Spirit are? Fire, wind, water. Try to get hold of any of those. It's a more abstract thing, and we are kind of frightened. John Owens, the Puritan teacher, and I'm getting off here a bit, but I don't mind that. John Owens, a Puritan teacher, said that the sin of the people during the Old Testament times was the rejection of Jehovah God. Over and over again, they were gotten after for rejecting God. The sin of the people when the Messiah was here, well, that's pretty obvious. They crucified Him. And John Owen said, and the sin of the people today is the rejection of the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said, I will not leave you alone. I will send the Comforter, the Advocate, the Teacher. And yet we're all a little bit leery of this Holy Spirit. One lady in the church I presently go to, she said, the word spirit scares me. She says, spirit has a negative connotation to me. I'm afraid one's going to appear in the room or something. Hey, God is on our side. Don't be afraid of going on. And Jesus did say, I will give you the Comforter, the Advocate, the Teacher. Okay, that's enough on the Holy Spirit, but thank you for bringing it up. Let me draw this to a close. I am not a preacher. I can only hope that this message has maybe made you ask a question. What can I do to becoming holy? And again, let me go over the things that I put. You can present yourself, as it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you that you present yourselves. You can pursue, as this little book talks about pursuing holiness, and you can partake of it. There's another P word here that came up when I was studying, and that's one of the very meanings of being holy, purity. That starts with a P. But it's God who will purify you. None of you here will purify yourselves. God alone can purify you. But you can present yourself so that He can start to work with you. Now, let me close this up here in reading to you from Hebrews 12. I'm going to read the first 17 verses of Hebrews 12. And again, this is a New English Bible. And one of ourselves, with all these witnesses to faith around us like a cloud, and Hebrews 11, as you may remember, talks about Noah and Abraham and Abel and Enoch and Sarah, all the people of faith. And then verse 12 starts, and one of ourselves, with all these witnesses to faith around us like a cloud, we must throw off every encumbrance. That's where responsibility comes in again. Every sin to which we cling, and sometimes we do that, we cling to sin, and run with resolution the race for which we are entered. Resolution, responsibility. Our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom faith depends from start to finish. Don't try to run the race on your own. Jesus, who for the sake of the joy that lay ahead of him, endured the cross, making light of its disgrace, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Think of him who submitted to such opposition from sinners. That will help you not to lose heart and grow faint. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. You have forgotten the text of Scripture which addresses you as sons and appeals to you in these words. My son, do not think lightly of the Lord's discipline, nor lose heart when he corrects you. And I love this part. And those of you who know the Bible are going to love it too. The Lord disciplines those who he loves. Hallelujah. That's exciting to me. And I say not glibly, but I do say with full confidence, all right, Lord, whatever you have, bring it on for me. I don't want to stay a babe. I want to grow. I would like to become, if not fully holy, more holy than I am now. He lays the rod on every son, and the King James speaks in the masculine, the Bible speaks in the masculine, but I'll add, on every son and every daughter whom he acknowledges. You must endure it as discipline. God is treating you as sons and daughters. Can anyone be a son or a daughter? And kids, you listen to this. Can anyone be a son or a daughter? Lost my place. Who is not disciplined by their parents? If you escape the discipline which all sons and daughters share, you must be, the word used here is bastard, but I will say illegitimate. You are illegitimate and no true children. Again, we pay due respect to the earthly fathers who disciplined us. Should we not submit even more readily to our spiritual father and so attain life? They disciplined us for this short life according to their lights, but he does so for our true welfare, and here's the key phrase, that we may share his holiness. Discipline, no doubt, is never pleasant. At the time, it seems painful. But in the end, it yields for those who've been trained by it the peaceful harvest of an honest and useful life. And again, don't raise your hands, but how many of you would like to be useful here on this earth? Just think about that inside. Come then, stiffen your drooping arms and your shaking knees, and keep your steps from wavering. Then the disabled limb will not be put out of joint and begin to regain its former powers. And I put my initials behind that because my limbs, due to a couple plane crashes, are all bent and out of shape. Aim at peace with all men and women, and a holy life without that which no one will see the Lord. And it taught, in the King James, it says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. I just want to stop here and make one thing clear to you. This is not talking about salvation. It's talking about seeing the Lord. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, you became a Christian, and you will go to heaven. there will probably be, and the Bible indicates this, different degrees of holiness. You know, some will be given charge over 10 cities. And as I've told Steve and Norma, I don't want to be charged over any city. I want a cabin on a back 40. But we will be rewarded. Some will have more stars in their crown. Some will have less. That's where holiness comes in. So I just want you to see this. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That's talking about seeing him now. I don't know how many of you here have ever seen a vision of God. When I was in the hospital recovering from the plane crash and I had an embolism that went to my lungs, and the doctors told me at that time that I came closer to dying even than from the original plane crash, I had a vision of Jesus standing on the other side of a stream. And I can tell you everything about it. The stream was flowing from right to left. And Jesus was standing there. And the figure had no details in the face, but I knew it was Jesus. And he told me, "You can come home now if you want to." I was 41 years old at the time. I didn't feel that I lived the life that I should to this point. I've been born again for a long time. But I really felt, and still do, at 78 now, that there's more for me to do here on this earth. I'm ready whenever he wants to take me, and I mean that. But I don't want to go before my time if I can still be of use here on this earth. Boy, you do get sidetracked, Quentin. The disabled limb will not be put out of joint, but regain its former powers. Aim at peace with all men and women, and a holy life, for without that, no one will see the Lord. And by the way, even though I only had the vision of him once, and you can take this for what it worth, he speaks to me pretty regularly. I hear his voice, and I've gotten so I pay attention to it. And if there are times when I don't pay attention to it, I think he's still speaking. It's just harder for me to hear the next time. But if you tune in, and that goes along with becoming holy, I think there's a real correlation there. You do hear the voice of God more. Look to it that there is no one among you who forfeits the grace of God. No bitter, noxious weed growing up to poison the whole. No immoral person, no one worldly minded like Esau. Remember, he sold his birthright for a single meal. And you know that although he wanted afterwards to claim the blessing, he was rejected, though he begged for it to the point of tears. And he found no way open for second thoughts. Now I want to skip down and read you just one more verse here, verse 25 of Hebrews 12. So see that you, this is responsibility, see that you do not refuse to hear the voice that speaks. Pay attention. The responsibility is on you. Only God can make you holy. But until you present yourself, that's that nasty free will thing, unless you present yourself, he's not going to do the work in you. Okay, I want to close this because I want to give you some time to think about it. I've asked Steve and the people back here to play a song, and I just want you to listen to it. It's talking about Jesus being in this place. That puts us into a new dimension. And I would like for us to, if we can, imagine, if we don't imagine it visually, imagine it in your souls that Jesus is in this place. So I'm just going to ask you to, what I'll do, I'll say a closing prayer, and then I would like for us to just close by digesting maybe a little bit of this by listening to the music. Father, thank you for this. I know I stumble, but I know you are God of all creation, and I know that you can take these words and make them real to the hearts of young and old alike here. And that you can bring about, if they present themselves to you, a measure of holiness. And I pray that you will do that with all of us. I would like to become more and more holy, not highfalutin and on a pedestal, but just more and more like you, even here on this earth. So again, in front of these people, I present myself, and I await for you to do the work. Work with me, work with these people as you will. Make them open and malleable. Thank you for this. In Christ's name, amen.